Today we're going to start a new series. Let's get into it. And I love the graphic that Sherry and Jess put up for us, the kingdom. And so over the next couple of weeks, we're going to be looking at different aspects of the kingdom and what that means to us and what that looks like. And this morning, I've called this one the five faces of a New Testament church. And so the five faces of a New Testament church and what that looks like. You could also say the kingdom calling of a New Testament church. But we have to understand, if you're visiting here for the very first time, we welcome you. We're glad you're with us. But you will, if you stay a little while, you will figure out that we love to make a big fuss about Jesus. Because it's all about Jesus. There is a king and there is a kingdom. And the king of that kingdom is Jesus. And we're all, if you belong to the Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you belong to that kingdom, and he's in the king. And now a king trains and teaches his people like servants. But we have a special king who calls us sons and daughters. And he looks after us that way. And he treats us that way. And we live in his righteousness because of what his son Jesus did for us upon the cross. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Colossians, please. Colossians chapter 1. And we have a number of scriptures we're going to look through. And we could actually even say that this is made for mission extension, continued. But it's the kingdom. And the heart we have this morning is for ourselves to try and get our minds out of the box, as it were, and understand there is a kingdom now and a kingdom to come. Various people are going to preach over the weeks, and we're going to look at that and see how that works. And I'm so happy you're all here this morning. I'm excited. And for those that are on vacation, I'm even more excited for them. And I trust they come back well rested. Colossians 1, verse 13 says, "For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son." And in some of it, it says, brought us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And it just impacts me so much when I see here we into his kingdom, and we understand that it is his kingdom that we are living in, not my kingdom. And I think Susan likes to put it this way. She says, some people think that they are the celestial star around which everything else seems to orbit. But no, we're just part of the orbiting ones around the king who is the center of everything. Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus is not like an add-on piece to our lives. He's not like, well, let's just bolt him on for a purpose. And if I could be so bold as to say, our Christian life is like that. This is who we are. This is what we do. It's not like, well, I get up in the morning and I go to work. I'm an accountant today. And then Monday to Friday, I'm an accountant. And when I get home, I'm a husband and a father. And I'm this and I'm that. And then when I get to church, I'm a Christian. No, no. Oh, by the way, because we are so multicultural, multi-ethnic, multi-generational, then we could throw in our culture into that somewhere along the line. No. Jesus first, kingdom culture first, everything else in some other kind of depending what you think is important. Because some of you, to be Sri Lankan is very important. Some of you to be South African is very important, or French, Italian, German, Indian, whatever it is, Portuguese, whatever we are here, and the multitude, Nigerian, Zimbabwean, whatever we are. Sorry? Oh, Canadian, yes. I was with another church the other day doing some leadership training, and I looked around the room and I said, there were 12 of us in the room. I said, will the Canadian born please stand up? And one guy stood up. it's wonderful. I love it. If you never understand me, just understand this. I love multicultural, multi-ethnicity, multi-generational, multi, because it's a small picture of heaven. We're walking in heaven, and we're excited about being here. Well, I am anyway. If you want to be excited, you can be excited with me. I'll give you permission, and we can be happy together. And so we have been transferred to his kingdom. We have lost our citizenship of the other kingdom and we have new citizenship. We are new citizens of this new kingdom. And the beloved is mine and I am his and I am his son. And I'm an heir, the fullness of everything, because I'm adopted into his family. You can turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew 5:13, or you can read the board. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Turn to someone next to you and say, I'm a little bit salty and I'm a little bit full of light. Yeah. What about if you're sitting by yourself? Joanne, just stand up and say it to whoever you like. Oh, no, okay. When Jesus did the Matthew 5 and the Beatitudes in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, he wasn't just like, I don't know what to do today. I just think I'm going to make a bunch of rules for the guys to follow. If you do this, then you'll get that. This is not a list of rules. We should follow and just obey these rules. We should obey, but it's not like, well, let me tick it off. Jesus is a much bigger thinker. He is way beyond our human 1% of our brain or 10% of our brain capacity. He is way beyond whether you are a conceptual, a strategical, or an analytical thinker. He is talking about things that break through our ordered, regulated, 9-to-5 time and space lives. Whew, that was a mouthful. But thank you. But that's who Jesus is. And we are I know some of you are going to freak out, but the younger people won't know what I'm talking about. Some of the really older ones might. Pink Floyd, The Wall. Dad, there we go. Okay.
We don't need no education.
Okay, all right. That's how we live our lives. I see some of you now laughing. You go, This is the kingdom he's talking about. Jesus has a megaphone and is saying to us, here is the kingdom. In layman's language, he's saying, guys, do you get it? And we want to go, yes, Jesus, we do. When we think of blessed are those that are poor in spirit, those that mourn, those that are meek or hunger and thirst for righteousness, merciful, pure in heart, peacemakers, those are all internal things. It comes from the inside out and are attributes of our heart condition. Kevin pointed that point or punted that point so long. These are what we call the attitudes. Be with an attitude of gratitude. When we sin is to understand that we came out of darkness into glorious light, into his amazing kingdom, we should understand, next slide, that kingdom citizens are people whose hearts have been changed. When you come to know Christ, when you come out of darkness into his glorious light, your heart should be changed. And therefore, there's a change in our lifestyle. Kingdom citizens are people whose thinking has changed. And therefore, because our thinking has changed, our actions would change. Kingdom citizens are people whose motivation has changed. And therefore, lifestyle, actions, attitudes have changed. Oh, there we go. Read the board. I'm a little bit out of breath, as you can tell. I'm getting excited. I'm going to slow down a little bit so that you can hear as fast as I'm talking. And what I'm trying to say, guys, Bridget will testify, and if you've been here a while, you would have heard this before, but you would have forgotten, so I'm just going to tell you again. I'm not a gardener. I don't like sweep driveways. I don't do that kind of stuff. The rest of the team all know, and most of you know, that if you want to get into trouble, give me a power tool and then run. So if you say, Mark, just cut a hole in that wall, I guarantee the hole's not going to be where you thought you wanted to be put. So don't give me power tools. I'm not that way inclined. But the day I got saved, I came home and I went into the garage and I pulled out the broom and I swept the driveway. Bridget came, what are you doing? I'm sweeping the driveway, love. Okay. She went inside. What came over me? I have no idea. But I knew that my heart had changed, my attitude had changed, my motivation had changed, my lifestyle was changing. And so I went out and did it. We want to be, that's part of a prophetic picture at the back of our church or the front of our church. When we walk, we want to be the vines going over the wall into our community. It's no good coming here every Sunday, excuse me, and getting fed and just being full. We got to go and give it out. Give love and life to others. We are morphosizing. Thank you. Thank you, Ken. Morphosizing from suburbia into kingdom. We don't live in suburbia anymore. We live in the kingdom of God. Excuse me. When we get the kingdom into our hearts, we will think and be and do different. And you've heard me say it. We will think outside the box. What box? Just do yourself a favor. What box? Because people have put you in the box. Made for mission. If you are doing something a certain way, and that's why right in the very beginning, I know this is going to be a short sermon, but I can see Holy Spirit's taking me somewhere else. We want to be the vines that go over the wall. There's no good just coming here and just getting fed every Sunday. It's just a club. We're not a club. We are on the march. We are soldiers for Christ. Moving forward, walking across the street, going over the wall. Made for our mission shouldn't be something we have to preach and preach and preach. It should be in our DNA. We should get so excited. Our eyes should be so shiny. We just want to rush out and touch the lives of people out there. We want to be salt and light. You know, when you add salt to chips, the chips don't get more chippy. They get salty. And Scripture says that if we do that with our lives and we pour our lives out on people and it still tastes the same, what are we good for? Being trampled underfoot. That's it. Throw it out. We want to when we want to go and salt people's lives, they're going to go, ooh, that tastes nice. What's that fragrance? Oh, look at the light. Floating 3 inches above the ground. No, I'm joking. Come on, work with me. Ay, 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 ay. Our lives should create a thirst and a hunger in those who don't know Jesus. That is kingdom. When they meet us, they might the first time, remember last week I said, we might confuse people. People go, you know, when Jesus mentioned stuff, taught them in parables, they were like, dude, what did he just say? And he sit down with his disciples and explain. This is what it is. But you know, the point of the parables is they need to elicit a response. They're not just cute stories. Read every parable. You'll see it must elicit a response. When we go through people's lives, they might go to us and I haven't a clue what that guy meant or that girl meant. I'm not sure, but there was a fragrance that they left here. I'd like to explore that more. That's kingdom. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 7. Of this gospel I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, excuse me, which was given me by the working of his power to me. Though I am very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to bring to light for everyone who is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God, who created all things, very important, so that through the church, that's through you, the church, the manifold wisdom of God might be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus. And we have to understand that the New Testament pattern, that's why the five faces of a New Testament, we're going to get there. Probably mostly people don't want a New Testament church because it is like a parable. It will elicit a response. It requires a response. Our heart here is to preach and teach and reach and touch families. We're family orientated because God is family orientated. This is not just come and get fed and go home. And what happens in families, we all have a part to play. That's kingdom. If you want to live kingdom, then live Christ. As I said last week, if you want to be Jesus, then do like Jesus. Oh, I just want to be Christ-like. Well, then do like Christ-like. That through the church, you know, we say, well, what does that mean? It means that through the body of believers, through the ecclesia, the called out ones, we are meant to go and be the kingdom of salt and light to those out there. Not on your own little thing. Some were called, some were sent, some just took a microphone and went. You know, when we first wanted to go and plant a church, we went to our pastor at the time and said, we think our time is done, we want to go and plant a church. And he said, no, well, you don't hear from God. No, I didn't say that. That's what I wanted to say. I was like, oh, okay. What does that mean? He says, you're not ready to go. I'm not ready to let you go. And this church is definitely not ready to let you go. So Bridget and I went away and we said, now what do we do? So we said, we're going to continue serving. So we served him and that eldership team and that congregation. And we were part of the eldership team. And then we went to him a year later and said, dude, it's really time now. I can't do this any longer. He said, no. Yeah. And then we had a stirring and a feeling to come to Canada, so we came on vacation to have a look at Canada. You know, the truth is, I could have just, some were called, some were sent, some just took a microphone and went. I could have just taken the microphone and said, thanks for all the years we've been here. Cheers, we're going now. Bye. I wanted the blessing of the house that was sending us. That's kingdom. And so we went and we came to Canada and we saw Canada and we had I had a prophetic word here. While men are from Mars and women are from Visa, I was doing coffee in what's that place called? Huh? No. The big mall, man. Yorkdale. I was doing coffee in Yorkdale, and Bridget was doing Visa. And I felt the Lord say to me, I want you to prophetically step out because I'm taking you to a colder climate. We're in winter in Canada, by the way. We're in it, and I'm so thick, which means I'm not so smart. And I said, oh, okay, Lord, what do you want? He said, I want you to buy winter coats as a prophetic. So we went around, we bought a winter coat that I wore once in South Africa because it just didn't work. And I bought Bridget a winter coat, which also didn't work in South Africa. And then we thought, oh, we're going to go and plant a church in Cape Town because it's colder there. We got back and we get into an elders meeting. We haven't even had a chance to say hi, bye, we're back. We knew it was, we got back on the Sunday afternoon and Tuesday night was the elders meeting. We went to the elders meeting. And we do the thing, how was your vacation? Oh, it was great, blah, 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 blah. But the Lord, on the way back home to South Africa, when we were closest to God at 30,000 feet, spoke to me and said, I'm taking you to a new place. But we already felt in our hearts Canada would be the place. We sat down, and as the elders' meeting finishes, Steve, because now, by now we've given up praying to go, we're praying for Steve and Janet to hear from the Lord. Because they are dull and not hearing. We are. And he jumps up in the meeting and he says, stop. The Lord's just spoken to me. And this is, if you ever met Steve, you'll know this is how he functions. He said, the Lord's just spoken to me. We're going, oh, really? We're tired. We want to go to bed. He says, Mark and Bridget, come sit in the middle here. He said, the Lord just told me there's a pregnancy, and in 9 months, you guys are leaving. We were like, oh, okay, life's getting real now. You know, it was easy when we said, we're going to go, or we'd love to go, and he said no, and then we were like, whoo, okay. Now it was, no, you are going. Now life's getting real. Anyway, cut a long story short, here we are. I have no idea how I got into that whole thing, but through the church. Not, we didn't want to take a microphone and wait. We wanted to be sent, and we were sent, and this is the blessing of being sent. The existence of a New Testament church is vitally important for us today in our community. It's for, so that we can correctly distribute salt and light. Too long have we been high on doctrine and low on demonstration. Too long have we become theorists instead of versus being theologians. Often we have been biblical idealists without being day-to-day realists. And what I mean by all of that is sometimes you're so heavenly bound that your feet are not even off the ground, or you're no good to anybody around you. So we want to be so super spiritual. Now what I'm talking about is that we want to be so spiritual that we step out of the natural into the supernatural, but the people around us don't know that that's happening. We don't have this air of grace about us, or this grace or air about us that we're so special. We want to people know that we are Christ lovers, Christ followers, and that it is Him who does it, not us. To whom is it important? Well, it's important to the elders of the church that there is a New Testament church. And I have a lot of scriptures. Secondly, it's important to the people around us, our community, to you. Acts 2:42, if we could take this and imbibe this. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. And awe came upon every soul. Did that one better. And signs were being done through the apostles. We read the book of Romans, chapter 16, 1 to 16. You see all the different people that were brought into that church. Who is it important to? It's important to the lost in the community. If we do not have a New Testament church, we could just have a nice club that people could come and they can join the club and partake of all our fun stuff and do all the fun stuff and never get to heaven. That would be a tragedy that even Shakespeare could never have written. The lost of the community, your children. Some of you know that when God sent us from South Africa, He told us, you're not going to go and build for yourself. You're building for the third and fourth generation. I'm happy with that. And of course, to God. It's important to God that His candlesticks, His lights, His beacon shines bright, and that souls are saved and people come to know Him. So what are the five faces of a New Testament church? I knew I'd get there eventually. Number one is the face of evangelism. There, I've said that bad word. Evangelism, the face of evangelism. The Great Commission has told us about that. But the problem is, we went through, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this because we did the whole Made for Mission thing on evangelism. That's what it's all about. It's going about telling somebody who told someone who should tell someone who should tell someone, as we preached last week. We are a relational people, and I trust you get that. You know, and I know there's all the cliche sayings about it. I feel lonely, and I'm sure there are people here who feel lonely. I want to encourage you. Step out of your comfort zone and make friends. If you want to have friends, be friendly. I understand that. You go, well, how can you say that? I understand that perfectly. I could go out and spend the whole evening, talk to nobody, and have had a great time. I get that. And Bridget would say, so who do you speak to? I'd say, no one. How did you enjoy the evening? Oh, it was great. I wasn't a very friendly person. But then Jesus got hold of me, and the kingdom got hold of me, and my attitude changed, and my behavior changed, etc., etc., etc. I sound like the king and I now. Great Commission. I will be with you to the end of the age. You're never alone. Well, I'm all by myself here, and I've got to try and witness to this person. No. The Father says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Holy Spirit dwelling in me is with me all the time. It's not like, I'm going to hop out now and leave you alone. No, He's with us all the time. Acts 1:8, I will give you the power to be witnesses. John 20:21, Jesus said to them, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. Well, I wonder if I should witness. No, I'm going to pray about it. No, you don't need to pray about it because the Father has already sent you. One of my things, I love to travel for the sake of the gospel. So when I get an invitation, people ask me, so are you going to pray about it? I said, no. I said, why not? I said, because I've already prayed about it. I'll be walking out there and I'll see a plane going over. I might have told you this before. I go, Lord, when will I fly for you again? And then I get an invitation. And I go, yeah, absolutely, I'll come. Don't you need to pray about it? No, I already prayed. You're an answer to the prayer that I prayed 3 weeks ago. And when he had said this, he breathed on them to receive the Holy Spirit. Ascending breath of God's power, when the Spirit blows upon us, we will be empowered. You won't have to force anything. The only thing you have to break the barrier is your own self. I'm too shy, I'm too this, I'm too that. No, you're not. If you still think you are, there's a bunch of people who would love to pray for you after the service. Because we sang this morning, you can break all the chains and the shackles off my feet, and I can witness. Something like that anyway. I just make it up as I go along. Yeah, I know. We just need to have a heart like Jesus for the lost. That's all. It's that simple. Because then everything will override our own personal feelings. Excuse me. Number two, a face of devotion. I wonder what that was. Our worship and a devotion to God. Anyone ever seen that thing? I think it's Tim Hawkins, that comedian. He does that thing. He does this thing on worship about hands and how you do your hands when you worship. So I did the worst thing. I watched that one Sunday morning just before I was coming to church. And I'm going, and then I'm just being remembered of what he's singing and what he is saying. And I just want to encourage us. You know, when I first got into, I didn't grow up in a charismatic church. I grew up in a very traditional church, let's put it that way. So when I got into a charismatic church, the people were just waving flags and dancing, and they were having fun, and I was freaking out. And I went, and they were waving their hands and raising their hands, and I was like, does this remind you of anybody here today? I was uncomfortable. I didn't know what to do with my hands. And so we have to realize that we can start our devotion here. Well, Lord, I'm sort of with you. People watching me, no, they're not. That's a big secret for you in church. Yeah. Everybody's watching me. No, they're not. Or you can get halfway to Jesus. They're still watching me. All right, yeah, okay, this is comfortable. I don't have to do anything. You know when people stick a gun at you and they go, hands up? What are you doing? You're surrendering. That's all this is. I surrender to you wholly, Jesus. Not because I'm afraid of you, but because I reverence you, because you are awesome, because you are mighty God. I encourage you, get your groove on, get your devotion on. Surrender to Jesus. That's all. It's very biblical. Go and read it. It's in the Bible. This is not stuff I make up on the weekends. Romans 12:1. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. No ways. I'm not doing that. Actual fact, I'm so lazy, I'm just going to sit the whole time. I have this thing. When you sit down, your spirit man sits down. When you stand up, your spirit man stands up. That's for free. Gospel according to me. Psalm 26:8. I love the house where you live. O Lord, the place where your glory dwells. Now that psalm, when he wrote that psalm, he was actually talking about a place, a tabernacle, or an ark. This is the temple where he dwells now. Think about what we say. I love the house where you live, Lord. I love this house where you live, Lord. Oh Lord, the place where your glory dwells. Isn't that cool? We also need to be a little bit sometimes exuberant. Well, we want to be like David. Well, don't strip down to your jocks, but that's what he did. But David danced, go and read it, for 21 kilometers he danced. And his wife was like, whew, check him. And you know what happened to her? We carry the presence of God when we come in here, and when we express his presence, we have a face of devotion that is kingdom. Number three, a face of servanthood. And a face of servanthood says that in Matthew 23:11, the greatest among you shall be your servant. Whoever exalts him will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. In the kingdom, servanthood is the greatest challenge. After 3 years of teaching these disciples, living it out, Jesus had to still explain to his disciples. You know, if you go and read through a number of the letters in the New Testament, you'll see how the greeting opens. Romans 1:1, Titus 1:1, James 1:1, 2 Peter 1:1, Jude 1:1, Revelation 13:5. It starts off, so-and-so, servant of. So-and-so, servant of. So-and-so, servant of. I, Paul, a servant of. Revelation 13:5, Moses, the servant of. We're talking about someone. You know that Jesus was servant of. And if Jesus, good enough for Jesus to be servant of, because he came to serve, not to be served, Scripture teaches us, it should be good enough for us to go mark servant of the Bridge Church. Now, there's a subtle thing I have to put there, because when I talk like that, does somebody think I'm actually your servant? No, I'm only the servant of the King, but I'm here to serve. You get the difference? What we have to understand is that when we come, we have our gifts in our hands, we have a servant towel over our arm, my gift in my hand. Whatever your gift is, whatever my gift is, I have this in this hand, but I bring it with a servant towel over my arm to serve. And you should be doing the same for all of us. Number three or four, face of generosity. God is the giver and the provider. We are simply stewards of what he has given us. Well, you don't understand, Mark. I'm a self-made man, or I'm a self-made woman. No, I do actually understand, because the scripture teaches me that God gave you that gift so that you could do that. It's not yours. He gave it to you. I think it's in Deuteronomy somewhere. The Hebrew idiom in Matthew 6:22 says this, the eye is the lamp of the body, so if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Now we have to learn to come, what that is, the Hebrew idiom that's saying that if we are stingy, our eyes are the window to the soul, and if we are stingy, how darkness that will be in us. If we are generous, there will be light in our eyes, and we will see that and we will live that way. And what I'm saying, a friend of mine once preached a sermon, I haven't got it on me today, but you know, we're going to go get baptized. He says, I surrender all. I won't carry on, but you know the song. And we say, I surrender all, and then we go to get into the baptismal font, and we say, Lord, I give you all except my time. I take my keys, which means all my possessions, and I put them down. And I take my wallet, which means all my money, and I put it down. And I get into the waters, Lord, I give you all except my time, my finances, and my possessions. And what we need to do is keep the watch on, keep the wallet in the pocket, and take the keys, and we go and we ask, surrender all. And we give all to Jesus. We give him everything so that our eyes will be clear and light. 1 Thessalonians 2:11. For you know how like a father with his children, we exhorted each one of you and encouraged you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. And we also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you, believers. And I trust this morning, I've read that scripture simply to say, I trust that what you hear me saying today is not my cute ideas, that this is the word of God who is speaking to you. He wants us to be generous on every occasion. And you know, we don't talk about finances and tithing much here. Because if you're tithing, I'm going to say this again, the finance boss is away, he's on the UK, but when we tithe under compulsion and because we think we have to, because, oh, God's going to bless me if I do, you're doing it for the wrong reason. We tithe under grace, not under law. He is bound to bless us anyway. Well, then I don't have to tithe. No, you do. But actual fact, in the tithe is not the deal. The tithe is just the starting place. Because if you read Old Testament, you would see they actually gave 30% of everything. That was law. But here we say, put aside, bring into the kingdom, give of your finances. Well, if I'd give less than 10, yeah, then you haven't even hit the law, the legal mark. You want to be generous? Be generous. And I can preach for another hour on that, just from Bridget and my own testimony. If you want to know more, you can speak to us. I've never in our lives tithed out of lack and found wanting. Never. Even when we came to Canada. Number five, face of community. I love this little saying I found. Happy is said to be the family which can eat onions together. They are for the time being separate from the world and have a harmony of aspiration. This is true community. Now, sometimes we think community is who us four, no more, let's all get together and talk, and that's a good place when you're eating onions. But we want to actually be extended and looking outside of that. We want to be going out into the community because they are part of us. We are not a community church, but we are a church in our community. We are meant to affect our community. The Godhead said, let us make man in our own image. Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news. Jesus came to be with us. Matthew 1:20, they came and they called him Emmanuel, God with us. You think Jesus didn't want community? God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, one family, one community, the first original. It's a pattern in the Gospels. There are a number of scriptures up there. Acts 2:46, right? Yeah, they're all there. Continue daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. That's why we do connect groups. Not because we think we need a hot, sharp idea. It's because it's biblical. We want to be kingdom. Get into a connect group. Lead a connect group. Support a connect group. Go to a connect group. It's biblical. Acts 5:42, and daily in the temple and in every house they did not cease teaching and preaching, just as the Christ, Jesus the Christ. What did they do all day, those people? I know society is a little bit different today, but as often as they could, they got together every day. I think I told you about the lady who came from the Congo. Did I tell this story? I did. Okay. Do you know the story about the lady who came to our church from the Congo? Yeah, okay. So when the 12:12, when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. A connect group praying. After Paul and Silas came out of the prison, they went to Lydia's house where they met with the brothers, encouraged them, then they left. I still think that is one of the funniest stories ever. Oh, Lord Jesus, would you please release him from prison? Will you, Lord? Oh, Holy Spirit, we call on you. Release him from jail. Knock, 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 knock. Rhoda. Hi. What? Who's at the door? It's Paul. No, don't be silly. Hi, guys. Oh, ye of little faith. I don't know. It's funny. God works in community. He loves community. He created us for community. That's why our heart here is so much for family. When one family member hurts, we hurt. Trust me. The disciples modeled community. Every time you go to connect group, you have the opportunity to bless each other, encourage one another, meet regularly, share your gifts, grow in your gifts. fellowship, worship, get to know each other more. Get to tell it. Not just we go to coffee afterwards and, if I may be so bold as to say, sit in our little cliques. Break out of your mold and go and speak to someone you haven't spoken to for a while. Someone, ha, are you new today? No, I've been here 6 years. Ooh, sorry. The kingdom of God is advancing. We want to be kingdom people outside the box. I think who is it that said, don't allow the culture to teach us about Jesus. We want to teach the culture about five faces of a New Testament church. Who we are, what we do. We are King's kids in the kingdom.